Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask or even imagine. Amen. Today, as a parish family, we celebrate the feast of our patron, the feast day of St. Francis of Assisi. His actual day is October 4th, but we moved it to today, so each year we can celebrate our patron, St. Francis. And it's obvious that we will be celebrating because outside our tables for our Italian feast, the bouncy house is filled and the petting zoo will arrive. Last week, I preached on that as a family, when one suffers, we all suffer. When one has joy, we all share in that joy. The ripple effects of who we are and what we say and do goes out and affects us all. We are a family. And so today I wanted to share with you, because some of you, I'm assuming, did not read the all-parish email that went out yesterday, that on Thursday of this past week, Mother Sarah received a phone call that everything had changed. For a couple of months, we had all assumed that the process for hopefully adopting Sam, who's almost 9 months old, would continue on for a few months and things would sort out. Yes, there was uncertainty, but things would sort out. Well, last Thursday, it changed. And a decision was made that this Thursday, all parties concerned would meet to discuss the transition of Sam into the home of a cousin of the dad. So this Thursday, Sarah will be meeting with Mike with a variety of people. Mike's been in Egypt, and he was called, and he is flying home tomorrow. So we sent an all-parish email to this effect, that this event had happened, and we are a parish family. And we are very aware that tragedies and disappointments and challenges happen to every single person. And we don't send a parish email out for each of us, and we wish we could, because everyone's tragedies and difficulties hit you very hard. Your personal issues hit you. In this case, Mother Sarah is our rector, and we as a family have been very aware of her relationship and Mike's relationship with Sam. So visually and as a family, we're involved and have been involved in the upbringing of Sam. But there are always situations that happen, and the ripple effect of suffering within a family, in a community, goes out. And so we feel it in different ways today. And sometimes some tragedies reawaken an old, painful experience in our life. And we re-engage the pain of grief. Sometimes things happen like this. Sometimes they are unexpected. For instance, one of our 8 o'clocker members, Betty Austin, was at a relative's home, was holding on to the arm of her son-in-law, just took her arm off for a moment, and in that moment she fell back onto a flower pot, and it caused a stress fracture in her back, and she will now be in a brace for 3 months. So all of us have these moments that are unexpected. And in some of these moments, we can literally say, that is not fair. we can literally feel that the process in the Los Angeles County Children Family Bureau, in this case with Sarah and Mike, we can be angry and frustrated, and we can say it is not fair. What do we do with these feelings, with these tragedies and these feelings of feeling this is just not fair? We have lots of questions, and often we don't have answers. But I'd like to take us to a different place today. I'd like to invite all of you to come with me into the two words, mystical hope. And so I want to quote from a book that I'm reading entitled Mystical Hope. Because we have resurrection faith, because one of our core images of the gospel is Jesus the healer, asking us to believe that all things are possible, we assume too often that our faith, if only we had enough, can fix anything. So in those situations where the fixing does not occur, the pain of loss is often aggravated by a deep sense of abandonment and disillusionment with God. But I hear a line in today's gospel that is of mystical hope. Come to me, come to me, you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. What is this rest that Christ is talking about? Cynthia, in this book, Mystical Faith, goes on to say, the real problem with much of our Christian presentation of hope and healing is that it does not push us far enough. It stays at the fix-it level. But beneath the fix-it level is something infinitely deeper and truer. Jesus is calling us within ourselves into a place deeper and truer than our pain, our anger, our frustration. This mystical hope is not tied to a good outcome or the future. Mystical hope is not tied to present circumstances. It is tied up with the mysterious presence of God in this moment with each of us in every event. And all of it is held in God. And a byproduct, an amazing byproduct of mystical hope, not attached to a fix-it faith or an assumption of what we want in the future, but a byproduct is a God-given strength and lightness, and sometimes even joy. That does not always happen at once. I talked to Sarah before I left this morning, and I asked her how she was, and she's in the roller coaster of numbness, grief, and hope. And in that, Jesus says to Sarah and says to us, come to me, all you who are weary or are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Jesus, in fact, said in the Gospel of John to a Samaritan woman at the well, within you is a life-giving stream. It is grace. At the end of Galatians, that passage today we hear, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters. And the last line of the psalm we just said, he raised up strength for his people. Raised up. So I sense that this raising up is God doing something in us to bring up a strength we didn't know we had. Francis of Assisi, to me, is a man of mystical hope. His story includes that he was sick and injured. He had done military service. He couldn't go on in the military. He prayed, "What do I do next?" And we hear that he heard, "Build my church." So Francis took it literally, assumed it was the broken-down church of San Damiano, goes to his wealthy father's warehouse, and without asking, takes a bale of silk and sells it to get supplies to build San Damiano Church. His father was furious, and in the public square of Assisi, disinherited his son. Francis takes off his clothes and disowns his father. "I do not want your wealth anymore," and gives it to his father, and left and went into creation, went into nature and prayed. And he went with nothing and embraced Lady Poverty. Embracing everything for God and owning nothing became the passion of Francis of Assisi. It was rugged, it was hard, it was distasteful, and yet he felt he was meant to give his life in a certain way, and it cost him dearly. He wouldn't even take money for food. He begged for food. And pretty soon, because in the midst of what he physically endured, he had a certain oneness with God's will for him, he, this man of mystical hope, radiated strength, lightness, and joy, or no one would have followed him. But because he had something going on inside of him, even though he looked filthy and poor on the outside, he attracted people who followed him, and they passed on with him mystical hope. He gave them a certain sense of that we are all one. And it was obvious with anybody that he was with that he cared about them and regarded every person, every creature, and all of nature as a brother and a sister, and literally used brother and sister, brother sun, sister moon. Everybody was one. That is what we're called, and that is what we share, and that is what we feel today. To enter this place of mystical hope is an invitation. Jesus said, "Come." And it is a choice. We need to go to God. We need to go to God, and this is hard, with a faith that's not fix it, but a faith that is open. And we say to God, "I give this to you, this very issue I've been praying about for 40 years, that you fix this for me, I give to you." God's power always is doing more than we could ask or even imagine, but we have to let go and enter into this living stream of grace. How? Within, by literally taking that moment to let go. We also enter this stream of living grace outside of ourselves by being in the very nature that gave St. Francis of Assisi such a sense of God's presence. We also enter mystical hope through love, through one another. And we also enter this hope by knowing we are one, that we do not need to feel isolated, that we are willing to be vulnerable and share with another person when we need someone else to be with us or to pray with us. And so we send out an all-parish email, and we ask everybody to pray. So what do we pray for Mother Sarah and Mike? For myself, and everyone's different, I am praying and visualizing the healing power of God's love in that room on Thursday. That when people gather to decide the transition time of Sam, that maybe a breakthrough moment can happen and hearts see in a new way. I cannot beg God for the outcome that I would like, but I can pray in God. Enter that room. May your spirit be felt. May it be palpable. May your wisdom feel anyone involved in that decision. I offer this for all the situations in your life. Visualize. See God's power with a loved one. See God's healing presence. And then you need to enter mystical hope and let God be God. It is very hard to let go of wanting to fix it or to tell God the best answer. But mystical hope is not dependent on a good outcome. It's not dependent on external circumstances. It has everything to do with you saying yes to the invitation to come when Jesus says to each of us, come to me, and enter that with God. Hold it with God. Give it to God. There is a psalm, a line from Lamentations, and I offer it to you. This is what I shall tell my heart, and so recover hope. The favors of the Lord are not all past. His kindnesses are not exhausted. Every morning they are renewed. Great is God's faithfulness. Amen.